Okay. You're doing just the period when I was mayor?
We're going to do some questions about Old Town, and yeah, the period when I major, and also contemporary questions too, so.
Because when I was in the legislature, Old Town was in my district.
Yes.
When I was, so I go back, I was in the legislature 20 years before I was mayor. So I've got a history there, plus I lived in on Vermont, which is just almost adjacent to Old Town.
Okay, first of all, what is your name? Okay.
You guys picking
we're,
up?
We're still doing this actually.
Okay.
So, yeah. Almost there. There you go.
What is your name?
Dave Hollister, H-O-L-L-I-S-T-E-R.
Where are you born in Lansing?
Born in Battle Creek, Michigan, 1942.
How long have you, how, when did you, you migrate to or to Lansing or move to Lansing?
I moved to Lansing in 1962 to attend Michigan State University. Got my undergraduate and graduate degree from Michigan State University.
What made you stay in Lansing after graduating from college?
Actually, I left and went to teach. I had a teaching certificate, and I taught in Durant, which is a community about halfway between Lansing and Flint. And basically got fired from that job for teaching civil rights and for being an advocate for integrated housing in a community that wasn't ready for that. In fact, there were 7 teachers that were let go at the same time. And I came back to Michigan State to get my master's degree, and I was teaching here as well at Eastern High School. And then had a family and just decided to stay.
When did you get involved in politics here in Lansing, Duradachin area?
I was not involved originally. And one day I was getting my master's degree at Michigan State, and I was teaching at Eastern during the day and getting my master's degree at night. And this would be 1965 in the spring. And Dr. Martin Luther King was coming to town, and I was going through the union, and the guy handed me a brochure and said, come and see Dr. King. So I went to the speech that Dr. King gave on campus, and I got there a little bit late, and it was overflow crowd, and I was up in the balcony, and King spoke for about an hour extemporaneously, and I was so moved by his speech and his vision and his call, because he was recruiting people for the Mississippi Freedom Schools, this would be 65, 66. And Michigan State University had a program called the STEP program, which was a student education program that where kids would volunteer from Michigan, go down and spend the summers at Rust College, Holly Springs, Mississippi, and teach these kids that were coming out of the African American high schools, preparing them for college because the schools were segregated and inferior. And King was so powerful in his message that I volunteered on the spot and said, I will go to Mississippi. So I went down the summer of 66, and then I went down again in 68. King was killed in April of 68 after we'd been down there the first time. And when he was killed, I decided to get involved in politics. At that time, I had never been involved in politics. So I decided that, and I was teaching at Eastern, that I would get involved in Bobby Kennedy's campaign for president. And I actually took a group of kids from Lansing Eastern High School down to the Indiana primary and worked in South Bend and had a chance to meet Bobby Kennedy, and they had a chance to interact with him. So Kennedy won the Indiana primary, and I was really fired up. We're going to change the country. The war was going on in Vietnam. People were very unhappy. And then Kennedy was killed. And after the California primary in June of 1968. So now King had been killed in April. Now Bobby Kennedy was killed in June. And a group of us got together at Michigan State University on the Saturday after Kennedy was killed. Kennedy was killed on a Tuesday night. the funeral was going to be later that day on Saturday, so we got together for a breakfast meeting at Michigan State. We sat at a table like this, was round, and there were like 12 or 13 of us. And the discussion was, should we leave this country and go to Canada? Because there was a lot of people opposing the war, and just get the hell out of here. This country has lost its soul, let's go. And the debate was whether to go to Canada and form a commune of people in mid-Michigan who would leave, or would we stay and run for office and try and change this screwed up system that would allow these two great men to be killed. And everybody in the room said, I'm gonna run, let's take it over. And so some guy said, well, I'll run for the state senate, and I'll run for the state representative, and I'll run for sheriff, and I'll run for whatever. It came around to me, and said, well, what's left? Everybody had already said they're gonna run. And one of the guys said, well, county commissioner is going to be elected for the first time in 68. Before that, they'd been appointed, so it's going to be elected. And so I'll run for county commissioner. What does a county commissioner do? Everybody looked around and I don't know what the hell a county commissioner does. Something for county, but it's going to be elected, so why don't you run? So all you needed was 20 signatures on a petition to get on the ballot. And this was in June, and we're leaving the next week for Mississippi. I'm going down for a second time to Mississippi, so I go over to Crystal Ray Community Center, which is in my neighborhood. I get 50 signatures just to make sure that I got enough, because you only need 20, but some of them might not be valid. I submit these petitions and take off for Mississippi. When I'm down in Mississippi, I get a letter from the county clerk saying, congratulations, you've won the Democratic primary. You are now the Democratic nominee for county commissioner. I didn't know what a county commissioner was. And the only reason I won the primary is because nobody else filed. So I was the candidate. And the good thing was, the guy that was running against me, his name was Laverne P. Fosnight. Now, there's no way in hell you're going to win an election with a name like Laverne P. Fosnight. I mean, that's just didn't going to happen. So I'm teaching school. And so I never run for office. I didn't even belong to the party. I mean, here I am, the Democratic nominee, and didn't even know where the party headquarters were. So I said to the kids, you know, I don't know anything about running for office, but why don't we do it as a class project? And you guys can run the campaign. And so we mimeographed the stuff off in the basement, you know, it was a cheap campaign, went door to door. The first campaign cost me $79. That was mostly for pop and potato chips for the kids that were going door to door. And we got some yard signs, and if you look at the Hollister yard signs over the years, they're blue and gold, even though that I was a green and white Spartan. But the kids from the seventh hour government class at Eastern High School were running a campaign, and blue and gold was the Quaker colors, and by God, that's what they chose, and that's what I did. And we won. That first night we were sworn in as county commissioners, there were 19 Republicans and 2 Democrats. I was one of the 2 Democrats. I was a hippie high school teacher with a beard, and I had a peace symbol, and I had an American flag on my butt, on the upside down, you know, part of the peace movement. And Grady Porter was the other Democrat. He later had the county building named after him. And we went out to the county commission the first night, and we introduced a resolution to stop the war in Vietnam and to support Cesar Chavez and the Great Boycott out in California. And the other Republican commissioners went crazy. They said, what the hell are you guys talking about? This is county government. And there's no place for you. You're just a bunch of hippie radicals. And it took us 4 years, but within 4 years, I was chairman of the Board of Commissioners. We took control of the Board of Commissioners within 4 years. And so we transformed county government here and locally. And so instead of focusing on animal control and whose dog was chasing who and those big issues, we started dealing with issues of peace and justice and equality and education and health care, mental health. And that's how I got started. So I served 6 years in the county commission. Then I ran for the state House of Representatives, served 20 years in the Michigan House of Representatives. Then I ran for mayor of Lansing, nonpartisan, was elected mayor, served 10 years in the Michigan, as mayor of the city of Lansing. Governor Granholm asked me to join her cabinet when she was first elected. So I became the director of the Department of Labor and Economic Growth, the biggest single department in state government. I did that for 3 years before President Simon asked me to take on this new role as CEO of the Prima Civitas Foundation.
What is your first historical memory of North Lansing area?
I lived in North Lansing. I lived on Vermont Street, and it was at that time it was called Old Town, North Town Against the World. And when I was in the legislature, I was engaged somewhat in Old Town, but most of the buildings were vacant. It was an abandoned area. And when I became mayor, a guy came to me by the name of Richard Karp, and he was developing some apartments in Old Town and wanted me to come over and see what he was doing. I thought he was nuts. What in the world are you doing over here trying to bring this place back when I was trying to get development downtown? But he convinced me that there was a future in Old Town. And so as mayor, one of the first things I did, the city was virtually bankrupt. There had been a scandal. The previous mayor had taken an early retirement, and it was just a mess, demoralized. I had $1.2 or $1.3 million to play with in the discretionary fund of the EDC. So I figured I got to concentrate in three areas. So I concentrated on Michigan Avenue from Clara's to the Capitol. That's the entrance to the Capitol, Michigan Avenue. So we'd do some programming there. The Washington Mall, the commercial strip downtown, because that's where our business were located. And then Old Town. And we picked Old Town because every city has an Old Town. That's kind of the foundation of the city. And I had been to Columbus. I had seen what they had done with Germantown, which was their original origin. And I'd been to enough major metropolitan cities to know that there's a historic center with the architecture and history and culture that if you could just recapture it would be a center of arts and entertainment. And Karp convinced me that the timing was right, and we had to help partner with him, even though at that time, I would say at least half of the buildings were vacant. None of the second, third floors were developed at all. And there was a small core of people, Bob Busby and Terry and others, that where I called them urban entrepreneurs. They had a vision, they had a plan, but the previous mayor and the previous city council hadn't paid any attention to them. They convinced me that I should really embrace Old Town, which I did. I took it under my wing. I made it a part of everything that I was doing as mayor. I would highlight Old Town. And it kind of took on a life of its own.
Do you think the redevelopment of this creation of Old Town helped out the city in the long term?
Oh, absolutely. It did a couple things. I got some kickback from the council because some of the early development was with the gay community. And I was being told by some of the city council not to invest in businesses that were openly gay. And I said, I have one question. Is there money green? And if money green, I'm a partner. I convinced the council to back off, but there were some that were really ready to take me on. I believe in diversity, and I was willing to take that heat. And it was one of the best decisions, one of the best early decisions that I made, because regardless of what their motivation or orientation, they believed in Old Town, and they were willing to invest and do the sweat equity that was required. And within a very short period of time, within a year, there were festivals, there was a vitality, there was a development of the second floors, and it began to redefine itself as a center of culture and entertainment, which is what we had hoped it would be.
What is your favorite spot or favorite business in Old Town?
Oh, they're all favorites. I love them all. I wouldn't pick one over the other. I think the Riverwalk was incredibly important, connecting the city. I launched, as I when I was mayor, one of the programs that we started was the Mayor's Riverwalk. We start every summer on the first day of June, that first weekend in June. We would go from the zoo and we would have a Mayor's Riverwalk. We give away free shirts to kids. And it's also the tourist, be a tourist in your town day when we advertise all the amenities in the Impressions 5, the university, the downtown museum, all the amenities in town. And we created the Mayor's Riverwalk, where we would walk from the zoo along the river through downtown, up into Old Town, and then end at the Dodge Mansion. And when we started, that was pretty desolate area. But when we pulled off the Lugnuts and the new stadium, it really tied it all together. So now you can, and we engaged some kids from Michigan State University Urban Planning Department to look at that area between the stadium that we were pretty sure could sustain itself, that corridor between Cedar and Larch and along the river going to Old Town. And we needed a coherent and strategy to develop that. And while it's not complete yet, I know the current mayor and Bob Precise and that team has a vision of developing, and I think with the accident fund buying the old Border Wildlife Building, and you're going to see development of the other side of that river, that whole corridor will be linked. And I think it's some future date there will be trolleys, or there'll be a small, maybe electric train, or maybe an old trolley connecting that. But it was a critical strategy and was a critical part of our overall success.
Do you think the redevelopment has changed the city of Lansing from an industrial city into an urban modern city?
When Governor Granholm was running for office, I took her to Old Town. And when she got elected, one of the first initiatives was cool cities. You know, Richard Floyd had written this book on cool cities. And we invited him to Lansing to speak about cool cities. The governor embraced cool cities, which were grants of $100,000 to develop their areas of their community that made them cool. And that program was launched in Old Town Lansing. So I think it really is a symbol of the revitalization of urban centers. When I was in the legislature, we were dealing with urban sprawl and, you know, pretty much giving up on the cities for years. Governor Granholm helped reverse that, I think, as mayor. Even with the previous governor, Engler, who was a conservative Republican, supported many of the initiatives that I had as mayor because he believed in our vision of saving the city in these urban areas. So the urban old towns in whatever city it is, whether it's Saginaw or Flint or Battle Creek or Lansing, the historic old town, the historic center, is a critical piece of their revitalization. And they need culture, arts, restaurants, lofts, walkable, so, you know, the river really helps, and that river walk really helps. The components are all captured in Old Town, Lansing.
What is the future of Old Town, in your opinion? What should be the future of it?
Future? Oh, it's vibrant and active, and I love the festivals. It was my hope as mayor that we would have a festival every week. We got a richly diverse community, so we should have an Asian, African festival, and a German festival, and an Italian festival, and a Greek festival, and every weekend there should be a festival celebrated along that stretch, and whether along the river. And they do that to some degree. We did that, but I think we can do more, and I would hope that over time that takes hold.
Okay. Also, too, we're developing, participating in the time capsule. And what item would you put in this time capsule? You have a choice of items that should be in this time capsule for people to see in the future on Old Town, or, you know, your personal items would you donate to this time capsule for 150 years of celebration of the city?
Wow. That's really a hard question.
Yeah.
Some photos taken in 1990, before I was mayor. Some photos taken in 2000, 10 years later. Some stories about Michigan Avenue before the stadium. It was called the Sin Strip. It was adult bookstores and velvet finger operations, and it was an area of high crime and drugs and prostitution, and how we were able to bring in minor league baseball and build that stadium and transform that part of the city. And now you see the stadium district, and you see the new development on the other side of the river with the accident fund and the development going north up into Old Town. I think some pictures capturing that. I think a lug nut baseball cap. The lug nuts really proved, we needed to prove we could do a complex problem, a job development on time and on budget. We were told it would never happen. Never. Lansing could never pull off a minor league baseball operation. You could never get the governor to go along, because we had to, if you look at the stadium where it is, between Cedar and Larch, we had to change Cedar and Larch. We had to make them larger and move them a little bit to squeeze the stadium in. Couldn't be done. Never get the governor to agree. You'd never get it built in a year. We had to build it in a year. You'd never get the local banks to finance it. Never. They wouldn't do anything that risky. And we just took an attitude, we're going to do it. We're going to do it right. We're going to do it on time. We're going to move these roads. We're going to have the governor. And I'm a liberal Democrat, and he's a conservative Republican. We're going to get the governor on board, which he was. And we signed up project labor agreement with labor and said, look, we will only use union labor if you promise that we can open the stadium in 1 year. And frankly, if we hadn't signed that agreement with labor, we could have failed. We had a terrible winter that year, and we had snow in April. And the weekend before we opened the stadium, it was snowing, and they were out there putting the bricks in and doing some final painting, because they had given their word that they would get it done on time and on budget. And we opened on time and on budget, and it has been singularly the most successful minor league baseball team in America, and continues to sell more paraphernalia, lug nut paraphernalia, than any other minor league team. So it really proved that you can do the impossible. You can, if you partner, if you have a vision, if you have a plan, if you reach out and make it a win-win. And that's what we did. And Tom Dixon believed in Old Town, and he worked to partner with events up there. And so we were always building more collaboration and more partners, and we didn't want the Old Town to feel threatened by the stadium, or the stadium to feel like Old Town was a competitor. They're part of the same menu of options, and we just got to promote them as well. One of the things we launched was Common Ground, which is a summer week-long series of musical events at Odato Park, which is also part of our strategy of linking Old Town and downtown.
Did you get that philosophy from Southwest? You know, Austin has this festival, Southwest, every year. It's kind of similar. I've been through, it's kind of similar to it, both of them.
Right.
Because when I went last year, I went to Wooden Austin, it's similar festivals. They have it in March here, you know, here even summer, because the weather better over there.
Right.
Was that kind of like a...
We looked at a lot of urban centers.
Yeah.
But we're also very much persuaded by Richard Florida and his work. But we worked closely with the university and the urban policy group out of MSU. And they were saying, you know, loft development's going to work. There wasn't a single loft in Old Town when I was elected. Not a single one. Now, there isn't a single vacancy in Old Town. But you had to believe in it, and you had to be willing to partner with the Richard Karps of the world and the Bob Busbys and the Terry Terrys. And I didn't do anything. I just supported what they were doing. But I gave voice to, I gave credibility to what they were doing and actually invested with them some of our economic development funds. Then we got Ferguson to develop that housing project on the Grand. And so we kind of built on what started as a small project with Richard Karp on three apartments, turned out to be the beginning of the revitalization of that part of town. Now Karp took the old Arbaugh's building, which was a vacant retail store, and has turned it into a vibrant housing project for Cooley Law School. So I think Richard is one of those urban pioneers that needs to be recognized. I think Bob Busby, who unfortunately was murdered a couple of years ago, was really the informal mayor of Old Town. But Terry and the old, there was an Old Town Neighborhood Association, they were the real urban pioneers. They convinced me, but they were there long before I was there.
Yeah, they're working with us in this project. You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you for your time. I know you're you know, you have other things to do. This is a great interview, so
good.
Thank you.